Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Alongside is Carlos Ortiz, and we're happy to be with you on another night of conference finals action in the NHL. We've got the Edmonton Oilers with a 2-1 lead after two. They're looking to go up 3-1 in the series. And in the NBA, we've got the Pacers and the Knicks. The Pacers looking to go up 3-1 in the series. Right now, they're up 96-88 with about a minute to go in the third quarter. It feels like, to me, the Pacers will win this game. It's got the feel of a Pacers victory. Could be wrong, because the other night, there was a game that had the feel of a Pacers victory with the Knicks down 20 and then Karl Anthony Towns putting the team on his back, scoring as many points in that fourth quarter as the Pacers had with 20. Fourth quarter the other night, Cat was 6-9 shooting, 3-4 for deep, 5-6 from the line, 8 rebounds. It was just a monster quarter from Towns, who only had a handful of points, 4 points after three quarters. So they needed every bit that they could out of him on Sunday night, and they certainly got that. Otherwise, Indiana would be going for the sweep tonight. Indiana would be going for the sweep at home, crazy fans, and it just seems like as Halliburton hit another three and then celebrates. Oh, now he did, now he just took a dive. Took a dive, but it was his own guy that ran into him, but he definitely embellished that one. I'm going to give you straightforward analysis tonight. Everybody, I think, that has tuned into the show, and maybe you're a first-timer, so I'll just reiterate, I do not like this Indiana team. I don't really have any feelings towards the Knicks. I don't like Indiana, and I'm not rooting for them, and I feel very strongly about it. There was a good instance tonight where it just showed, like, you just can't, they're doing things that you can't beat. They're always answering punches. And really, you got to give them credit. And I do. I definitely do. I maybe, for as much as I talk one way about Indiana, I also maybe give them more credit than anybody else. But DeLon Wright tried to have a steal after a basket, missed, and then they immediately had a three at the other end. They always find ways to get in front of you and stop your momentum, which is kind of shocking that the Knicks were able to come back the other night, because the Pacers have been so good at ending those kind of runs, at making sure that leads did not evaporate on them. They've been very good at that. But the Pacers up 2-1. Up 9 here in the waning moments of the third quarter. Game is in Indianapolis, so we'll see how this one plays out. We'll keep you updated on that as it goes. I was talking the other night, I do like when I'm able to at least listen to some of the announcers. You learn a lot that way, I think. Right now I'm just kind of watching it raw. I'm watching it without the volume. I am my own volume. Tonight, though, I'm kind of glad, because there was a woman sitting next to the crowd mic. This happens in these games where they have a mic in the crowd, and then there's somebody that's always by the mic. The Cubs had this guy forever. He would always go, "Woo, Cubs!" Woo, like the whole game. He goes, "Woo, Cubs! Woo, Cubs!" And there was a woman tonight after every play. Yeah! Yeah! And you can't turn it down. You could turn it down, and then there's no crowd noise. And you don't want that. Yeah! He's doing it right now. He's doing it right now. Yeah, he used to make that sound. You get kicked out of the race. Now you're featured on TNT for 2.5 hours. So that is the game that is going on tonight. Pacers with a 10-point lead, second to go in the third quarter. The game that we had last night between the Thunder and the Wolves, A close game, but after Minnesota had a not close game on Saturday, they answered resoundingly, 143-101. They were down 2-0. They took it home. And what we had thought coming into the weekend was Minnesota will win one of those games. Minnesota will win one of those games. They have to try to win two. They'll for sure win one. And they have to win two, otherwise they're probably toast. Well, they won game three, which was their first win, and then they lost game four. 128 to 126. Pretty good effort that they gave. But the Thunder on Monday night were all over it. In their loss in game three, Gilgeous Alexander and Jalen Williams and Chet Holmgren combined, the three had 37 points. That's the lowest that they've had combined when they've all played at any point this season. And then on Monday in their win, those three guys combined for 95 points, the most by any Thunder trio ever in a playoff game. And you could think of a pretty good Thunder trio off the top of your head. SGA led the charge, 40. Well, he joined Russell Westbrook. His actual stat line was 40. Yeah, 40 points, 9 rebounds, and 10 assists. The only other Thunder player to ever do that in a playoff game is Russell Westbrook. Only 4 players have ever had such a stat line in the conference finals. The other ones being Oscar Robertson, Charles Barkley, LeBron James, and Devin Booker. And then Jalen Williams was huge. 34 points for him. That was a playoff career high with a playoff best 6 threes, and he had 3 steals. So one of the things with the Thunder that is talked about is SGA scores the points. I mean, he was the MVP. You know, he led the league in scoring average with 32.7. So he will get his. And then they obviously finish with more than 32.7 points a game, but where is the other scoring come from? Sometimes it might be Chet. Sometimes it might be Jalen. Sometimes it might have to be a guy off the bench. Sometimes it might have to be Hartenstein. But there's no consistent second scorer. Jalen Williams would be the closest, and he's been, at least in the last game, a great example of that. When they can put up numbers like that, SGA had 40, Jalen had 34, Chet had 21. When they put up numbers like that, they are nearly unstoppable. It was the 9th time the three guys have all had 20-plus points in the same game, and in those games, Oklahoma City is 8-1. So typically, they will win those games. Now, what has to be frustrating for the Timberwolves in game number 4 is I will now read to you the following categories in which they led the game in. Between them and the Thunder, they led the game in rebounds. Minnesota led the game in assists. Minnesota led the game in points off turnovers. Minnesota led the game in fast break points. Minnesota led the game in points in the paint. Minnesota led the game in second chance points. Minnesota led the game in free throw attempts. Minnesota led the game in free throw makes. Minnesota led the game in field goal percentage. Minnesota led the game in three-point percentage. Minnesota led the game in free throw percentage. There's one category I didn't say there. Points. They did not lead the game in points. The Thunder with the 128-126 victory. That likely puts them into the finals. You're up 3-1. Two of the three games that are, if necessary, are going to be in Oklahoma City. I don't guarantee with everything I have that the Thunder will wrap it up tomorrow night, but it's likely they do. It could also be a situation where the Timberwolves find some life, but then they just run out of steam by the time they have to go back home. And Oklahoma City wins on the road. Or maybe the Timberwolves dig real deep. But then the Thunder get that Game 7 win, kind of how it played out with Denver, where they had a Game 7 win that was turned into kind of a breeze for them. So Oklahoma City, unless something miraculous happens for Minnesota, should be in the NBA Finals. And there's one thing that I think, it's happened. We've seen it happen. We've talked about it It happened again last night. But there's something that Oklahoma City does that I think in a semifinals, you know, it's one thing. In a conference finals, it's another. But if it plays out the way it played out last night in an NBA finals game, it will be a dominant conversation piece. And a lot of think pieces will be written on it. And a lot of monologues will be breaking it down. And that's the way they foul up three. When they're at the end of a game and they are up three, they ended up losing with the strategy against Denver. They didn't play it right. They scored too quickly before they let Denver foul them. They were fouling up three when Jokic was not on the court. Typically, you don't want him to shoot. But when Minnesota had a chance to get it close, Oklahoma City resorted to fouling up three. So they made a couple of free throws with 14 seconds left, 124 to 121. And then immediately, the Thunder ended up fouling the Timberwolves. And they did that one or two times. Shea was able to make his free throws. Naz Reid made his free throws to try to get it, but you're at the point now, and Edwards had to miss his second free throw. You're at the point where you're hoping for, if you're the Timberwolves, because you're getting fouled, you're down three, you don't have a chance to tie the game. They are fouling you, purposely sending you to the line for two shots. So what Minnesota has to do in that case, the counter, and what do we always say when we don't like something? We'll try to beat it. So the counter is Minnesota has to make the first free throw and then intentionally try to miss the second, which it seems like when guys try to miss, it's harder. It's harder to try to miss one than it is to try to make one, it seems like sometimes. But then you have to get the rebound, and then you have to get the shot up, and you have to make sure you do it right away. It's not an aesthetically pleasing way to finish a basketball game. And there was a lot of complaining about it last night. Because while it may be a sound strategy, and that could still be up for debate. I mean, we saw the Thunder lose. We saw them lose to Denver when trying to do this. Because then when they were fouled, they didn't make their threes and Denver was able to come back. The likelihood of that doesn't seem like it's great, but it is still possible. Or you could just let the guy take a three. Maybe he misses it. Seems like the percentage of that is just as much, but this is what Coach Daigneault and the Thunder have tried. This is what they've done for a long time. This is what they've done all season. So it doesn't seem like there's going to be any changing. Now, it's not the only time that anyone has done it. And they're not the only team that hasn't done it. There was a game in December, regular season game, okay? There was a game in December where the Cavs were up 3 points against the Celtics with 14 seconds to go. And the next few possessions played out over the course of 15, 20 minutes. And it was just the teams intentionally fouling each other. So the Cavs went up. This is a game in December, regular season game, 14 seconds to go. They go up 109 to 106. And then the Cavs foul the Celtics. The Celtics make both their free throws and then foul the Cavs, who make both their free throws. The Cavs then foul the Celtics, and they make both of their free throws. And now it's a 111 to 110 game. So they make some substitutions. They come on in. Celtics, they have to foul the Cavs. The Cavs knock down a free throw. They knock down both free throws. It's 113 to 110. The Cavs, another foul. They're up three again, so they foul, and then the Celtics go back to the line. Celtics make one free throw, miss the other one. Cavs get fouled. They make their free throws. The game ends 115 to 111. This is a game in December, and it's a big game at the time. The Cavs were on their great streak. The Celtics, you know, were tight, ended up being pretty tight with the Cavs. Cavs had a kind of a buffer throughout some of the regular season before the Celtics started to chip away a little bit, but ultimately they did kind of run wire to wire 1 and 2 in the East. But even back in a regular season game like that, we're seeing it. And I don't know that anybody really knew that that happened. And even the people watching the Cavs and Celtics game were probably like, I mean, this is stupid. But it is going to become a bigger deal if it does happen in an NBA Finals. It's already a big deal that it happened in the conference finals, but it's going to be magnified if that is how an NBA Finals game is decided. Because ultimately, while it may be, and you can argue the smartness behind it or the strategy behind it, it is not an enjoyable way to watch the end of a basketball game. You are taking some athletes that are the most athletic in the world, these players, and we want to see great finishes, we want to see exciting action, and we are seeing a game decided by intentional fouls and then free throws. So there's a rule like this in the NFL that people are talking about, you know, with the tush push and the whole if you don't like it, try to stop it thing. And all you can really do is try to play it out or, again, miss your free throws. It's hard. It's hard. The team does kind of have an advantage as long as they're making their free throws. I would say, typically, what I always say when games get decided at the very end, because how many times do we say, oh, he just missed that shot if he would have made it, or, oh, if that call wasn't made, you got 48 minutes to make sure you're not in that position. You got 48 minutes. If you don't like how it ends or what a game comes down to, do something about it in the other 47:30. Don't let it be decided at the very end. So that's kind of where I come from, too. I don't feel like I want to be a change agent for this. I don't feel like this is a take that I need to get up and scream loudly about. But it is aesthetically unpleasing. It's a bad way to watch the end of a game. Now, they've tried the Elam ending where there's like a target score, 4 minutes left in the clock. They did this in one of these All-Star games. They've done it in that college, or that sometimes, you know, college alumni, but that basketball tournament. They've done it in there where once there's 4 minutes at the end of a clock, there's a target score. So whoever's leading, you add, let's say, 21 points. In the NBA All-Star game, I think it was 24 for Kobe. And that's then the target score. So right now the game's 111-89. Pacers taking a bit of a lead. If we went to the Elam ending right now, it'd be the target score. So first one to 135. So the Knicks would still have a chance to play it out, but the Pacers, they're already up 12, so they're going to be a little bit closer. It would probably lead to more exciting basketball, although not necessarily. It would just lead to less unexciting basketball. But then again, this is the conversation I've been having with myself all day, is I wanted to take a stand. One way or the other, I wanted a stand on this position. And then I thought how, when it comes to college football specifically, people are always complaining that the playoff isn't set up for them to have every game be the best game ever. You know, we got to have every game be the best game ever. It's got to be, entertainment matters more than how you get there or what you deserve or what you've earned. And so I've always rallied against that. So I'm trying to figure out where I stand on this. I think where I stand, where I can definitively say I stand, is I thought the end of the game last night was dumb, but I also thought that the Thunder did what they wanted to do to win, and they won. And if that's how an NBA game is going to be decided, you can't let an NBA game be decided that way based on how you play throughout the game. So it's going to be tricky, because this is going to be a conversation that is going to, I think, as long as there's a close game in the finals, should the Thunder make it. Then again, with all due respect, if it's Thunder and Pacers, I think it's going to be you, me, and the lamppost watching this thing. But that's probably a shame, because these are probably going to be two of the teams that are good for the next half decade. But I don't know that it's going to give the juice that the NBA is looking for. But it will be discussed more, and I hope to have more of a refined take, I think, by then. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. As I mentioned, Pacers up 12 in the game right now, looking to take a 3-1 lead. It would have both series be playing out about the same way, where the home team loses 3 and comes back and wins 4. We will see. Or the team that's up, I should say, loses 3. Oklahoma City on the road. But we'll see how that plays out. We'll have more updates as we move forward. 888-710-4476. This is the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Thunder Radio Network. As the Thunder on Memorial Day get the victory 128-126 over the Minnesota Timberwolves to go up 3-1 in that series. Look like they're on their way to the NBA Finals. Could be the first of many if all things go according to plan. They've set themselves up pretty well. That game capping off a sports-filled Memorial Day weekend. Maybe you caught some of the NHL playoffs, some of the MLB action with Memorial Day, some of the NBA playoffs, the Indy 500, which people seem to really complain about. It was on Fox for the first time this year, and they just showed a lot of commercials where the fans weren't used to watching commercials, yet it got its highest ratings in 17 years, so those advertisers are going to be very happy today. A little Saturday night main event with R-Truth and John Cena setting up Cody Rhodes, R-Truth versus, or no, it's Cody Rhodes, Jey Uso versus John Cena, Logan Paul match. As John Cena is winding down his wrestling career, he's doing it fighting with Logan Paul for whatever reason. But a lot to digest over the weekend. Maybe you caught a lot of it, or maybe you said, screw it, I got a long weekend. I am not going to utilize my TV that often. How much TV time for you? Well, you were at games once again, weren't you?
Yeah, and I'm getting kind of tired of it. I almost got into an argument with my wife because she drags me to the Mets game every single chance she can now. Purely
is this Saturday? Saturday?
Yes, Saturday. She wanted to go Friday, did not go Friday. We went Saturday, and then Sunday, she didn't even go to the game because we were actually close by, but she sent someone, she sent her sister-in-law to go get her the giveaway. And the sister-in-law, it was a Sean Manaea. I forgot who it was specifically. It might have been him, though, but it was a giveaway jersey, and it looked kind of cool. You know, it had the little military camo, so I was like, all right, I get that one because it was for military appreciation / Memorial Day. So, you know, good on the Mets for doing that. But I got a big beef with these giveaways.
Yeah, what happened to you on Saturday?
All right, so Saturday was Mets and Dodgers. And hi, Bart. I hope your Memorial Day was great. Mets, Dodgers, they're giving away a bobblehead. No, I lied. They're giving away a Kodai Senga, jersey, and it was like white, you know, with the pinstripes and like the Japanese characters in the back. I assume it was his name. It looked like a nice little, you know, jersey. Flimsy, you know, that's what giveaways are. They're cheap stuff. We got there an hour before the game. An hour before the game. All the jerseys are gone.
Do we know what they limited it to?
I think it was the first 15,000.
Okay.
There's no way 15,000 people got there before me, an hour before the game.
Yeah, I'm looking it up. It was the first 15,000 people get one of these jerseys. I don't understand it. I think there's two appropriate types of giveaways that should happen. Either, hey, this is a special giveaway. You have to buy a special ticket, okay? Like Sesame Street Night. We're not printing 40,000 Cookie Monster Colorado Rocky bobbleheads. But if you want one, you sign up and you're going to be able to get one, okay? If you just want to come to the game, come to the game. If you really want the giveaway, we got about 2,000-3,000 for the giveaway. First come, first serve on the tickets. That's fine. The other should be all fan giveaway. Anything in the middle, I think, is a self-inflicted error. I really don't understand the logic behind it. Because even if it's some sort of drive to get people into the ballpark early, like, hey, if it's 15,000 people get this jersey, we're going to get them into the ballpark early. There's going to be several thousands of people who don't get the thing, who came early and thought like you they were going to get the thing, and they're going to be unhappy. Now, I still think they're going to eat and drink at the game. They're not going to storm out and leave. But I don't think long term this is a good solution. I brought up last week, 2 weeks ago, the Brewers had a giveaway. It was a cribbage board. It's a card game board, kind of localized, I think. But it was it's a hot item for people around here. Okay, it'd be like if they gave out a year's supply of cheese curds. Okay, but it's just for the first 25,000 people. So then they had people in line. They're not even opening the ballpark. People are in line. And then the Brewers, I'll credit them for this, they started sending their vendors outside saying, hey, we got food, we got beer, you can drink in line and tailgate right in line. Or they could have just given away the thing to the 40,000 people. I don't understand. I'm willing to. I come from two kind of, when I present something, I come from two sort of setups. Sometimes I know I'm right and don't understand how people are against me. In this case, I have to believe there's an explanation for the madness behind this. I have to believe it. And I struggle to come up with what it may be. Get people to the game early? Okay. You got a lot of people that are going to be unsatisfied. And then we saw what happened. The one good thing the Pirates organization ever did was apparently, and this is the tale they're going with, the owner, Bob Nutting, was driving in and he saw how many people were in line across the bridge for the Paul Skeens bobblehead. So he makes sure to give everybody that was in attendance, give them a bobblehead. And they got a voucher and they'll get it at a later date. Well, then why not just make enough to begin with? It doesn't make sense. I'll continue asking the question until I get an answer because I don't. And this is a relatively, if I'm not mistaken, recent thing. Teams didn't used to limit for a while. Maybe they started to once, you know, attendance was down. You give a bobblehead for, there was a couple, I mean, it was a couple summers ago. It was like 20 years ago. But bobbleheads made this huge comeback where like people would quit jobs to make sure they had the day off to go get this bobblehead. And then that kind of faded away. So they had a lot of, you know, unused bobbleheads. Oh, I got a good idea. Maybe sell them. Throw them in the team store. You know, I just don't understand the basis behind it. So I'm sorry that things did not work out for you. I'm also sorry that you've become married to world's biggest super fan.
Oh, it's obnoxious. And yes, she does love the Mets, which is great for me because I wanted her to get into sports. And now she's into sports. It's kind of annoying, but then she's just obsessed with the giveaways now. I'm like, it's getting to be too much. But, you know, we are worse places to be than Citi Field, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose. And you hit up a soccer game?
Sure did. See, I see you didn't include that in your little soliloquy about things to do. Went to see the NYCFC whip that Chicago Fire ass 3-1.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, invigorating soccer stuff. Lots of libations to be had. I haven't had so much seltzer beer in my life.
Mm. We had, we went Saturday, we had a birthday party. Again, back-to-back weeks at Sky Zone.
Oh, so more Sky Zone action.
Mm-hmm. Sunday, what the hell did we do on Sunday? I don't even know. What did I do Sunday?
It's all a blur, thanks to the booze.
I don't know what I did on Sunday. Oh, God. Sunday. Sunday, I bought a new mattress.
Oh, that's Ooh. Right. You sent me a picture of you mattress shopping, and I told you which mattress to get because I used to sell those mattresses, which is how I've come so far and yet not far at all.
The guy told me the price, and my reaction was, for a mattress? It's a nice mattress, so I hope to have it for a long time because We're not going on a vacation anymore now this year.
Well, you are every night when you go to bed.
Yeah. And then I said, you know, yeah, I mean, we're going to be on it one third of our life. And he goes, that's my line. LOL.
That's what the salespeople, yep, that's what they say.
Yesterday was some beer garden action. That was fun. And dreading about our AI future has got me kind of tied up too. But other than that, I'm doing all right.
Yeah, I didn't think about AI until just now. It was an AI-free weekend. I think you're the problem when it comes to being AI.
I see these AI videos, and the problem is they're videos about how the AI people realize that they're AI, and they're trying to grapple with how they're fake, and it just seems, I don't know. For someone who already kind of thinks we might be in a simulation, it's a little too close to home for me.
Yeah, I totally glitched on the way over here.
So I'm a little worried about all that, but we forge on. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476 with an update on some playoff basketball, hockey, and more. It's Marco Belletti.
The biggest moments in the games.
Tatum, two dribbles with the right, hangs in the air, runs it off the window and in.
The biggest voices in sports.
Towns fires away. Bang! Carl Anthony Towns.
The heartbreak.
Grabbing his left knee. He's in some severe pain.
The celebrations.
But it's no longer what could be or what might be. Now it just is. The 2024 Boston Celtics are one of the greatest teams in NBA history.
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
That's right. The Bulletin Blitz is back.
Bart Winkler Show, Infinity Sports Network. It is Tuesday, May 27, 2025. And since we were off yesterday on the Monday, let's do a little bit of a rewind. The Thunder are one win away from the NBA Finals. The Thunder edge the Timberwolves. They take a 3-1 lead in the Western Conference Finals. Final score of 128-126 in Game 4. SGA led all scorers with 40 points. And let's hear on SGA. He responded to some of the internet chatter, if you will, Bart, on him becoming, or him being, rather, a free throw merchant.
The fans, they're going to do whatever they can do to help their team win and knock me off my game, being the head of the snake of our team. Like, and that's their job. That's what creates home court advantage. That's what creates a fan base. That's what creates energy in the building. And they want the Timberwolves to win. They don't want the Oklahoma City Thunder to win. So I expect nothing else. And it's in terms of the label, I don't care. I never cared.
Well, Doris Burke was talking about it, too, on the broadcast. And she was also talking about the historical relations between France and Germany for some reason. They're trying. I kind of miss some of the old ESPN broadcast crews. Wasn't the biggest Mark Jackson fan, but him and Van Gundy and Breen were worlds better than what they've got now. SGA and the Thunder, this is a team that people, I don't think, are embracing in the way that they should. And we'll talk about this more, but they've done everything right, how you want to build a team. They have done it on their own. They've done it through trades. They've done it through drafting. They've done it with, good coaching. And for whatever reason, I don't feel like I feel the love from fans to the Thunder. So it'll be interesting to see how they're treated and talked about come playoff time, or finals time, should that be where they get to, as they're up 3-1, and it looks like the Pacers, just so you all know, are going to go up 3-1 as well. We'll have more on that coming up in a little bit.
Yeah, I got 18 seconds left. Knicks, missed a second free throw, driving right down the line. 127-118 for the Pacers' favor right now. But going back to, again, to last night, 23 turnovers for the Timberwolves. It's not what you want in a one-possession game, obviously. Here's head coach Chris Finch on the turnovers and on the loss.
You're not going to beat a team like this if you're certainly turning it over 20-plus times and letting them have a bunch of second-chance opportunities. And we knew that. But, you know, this isn't the formula to get it done, you know, and I think that's the most important thing to take away from tonight.
Well, as I mentioned earlier this hour, the Timberwolves led the game in rebounds, assists, points off turnovers, fast break points, points in the paint, second chance points, free throw attempts, free throw makes, field goal percentage, three-point percentage, free throw percentage, and they still lost. I don't even know how that's possible, but the one thing they did not lead in was points. One of the things the Thunder have been doing well is limiting Anthony Edwards' shot attempts. So in the first series, Anthony Edwards against the Lakers averaged 22.5 shots. Then against the Warriors, he was down to 19.8. Now he's at just 17.3 shots a game, and that's been a problem. They need to get the ball in his hands. And then when it is in his hands, it's contested well, and he's got to put up really tough shots. So the Thunder have done a really good job trying to neutralize him, trying to neutralize Randle, and not just trying. Whatever they're trying to do, they are succeeding at. That's why they're going for the gentleman's sweep tomorrow night.
And Tyrese Haliburton, by the way, did get a triple-double. He
almost had one in the at the end of the first half.
Yeah, his first quarter numbers were nuts. This game is all about over. 6.4 left, and Pacers getting some free throw action right now. Let's stay in Indiana, but let's go to the WNBA. This is courtesy of Iowa Local 5 News. What happened to Caitlin Clark?
All new tonight, Indiana Fever superstar Caitlin Clark will miss the team's next few games because of an injury. The Fever say Clark has a left quadricep strain and will be out at least 2 weeks. The Fever did not say when Clark was injured. Clark is currently averaging 19 points, 6 assists, and 9 rebounds per game this season. Her second in the league.
So if she's going to miss some time, and she did not miss any last year, but if she's going to miss some time, it looks like it's going to be a game tomorrow night in Washington, which was moved to Baltimore, to the arena there. 2 home games, and then a game at the Chicago Sky, which was moved to the United Center. So it's tough when you have a league where there's clearly one person who people want to see more than anyone else. Major League Soccer was the same way with Messi, and I think that's tapered down a little bit. But it's still, I mean, he's a big draw when he goes somewhere, because there were games where then he would not play because he was hurt, or they played so many games in so few days that they'd say, I need to rest for, you know, to stay healthy. And then fans in like Minnesota or Houston or wherever are throwing down $500 for these tickets. You're not throwing $500. You're not throwing $50 to watch Inter Miami. You're throwing that much money to watch Messi. So we'll see what happens with these games. Tickets have already been dropping, at least for the game that I saw in Chicago, by about, you know, from $80 to $25 for just the highest level seats. You just, when you get it, it's great to get a big star in the league, but then you need to start to fill it with other stars so people do want to see these games. But there's no mistake that Caitlin Clark, I don't want to say she's not bigger than the WNBA. Although if she left and made her own league, I don't know. I'd be curious. That'd be interesting to see what people would do. She's a big draw for whatever reason. She just is.
Yeah, it's funny. Tickets are dropping in Chicago. I thought Angel Reese said people were coming to see her, too. Interesting. Let's switch gears to go to the NFL. And, yes, that was a shot. Aaron Rodgers watched.
Well, if it was one of her shots, it was a missed shot and a rebound and a missed shot. You got three rebounds off that play. Yeah, good job.
Aaron Rodgers' watch is continuing.
Are we going to get in trouble for that? I don't mean to disparage WNBA.
That depends if we're on the score or not. I feel like this is the story that's never going to end, and it's not going to end until we actually get to preseason and possibly week one. Aaron Rodgers does not want to be in OTAs. He does not want to go to voluntary workouts, involuntary workouts. Yet we're going to still keep talking about him. And, of course, he needs to keep his name in the news cycle. Here is Aaron Rodgers. This is courtesy of the YNK podcast. It's an interaction between him and a young fan. Is he going to play for the Bears?
Will Aaron Rodgers ever go to the Bears?
Oh, boy. Security, can we get her out of here? I need some security. Security,
can you take it easy on her on this one?
No, but I believe there's a team that might play in Chicago this year.
Let's go!
On a road trip. I don't know. I'm not sure. Gotta check it out.
Are you speaking in code?
I love Chicago, though. Way more than they love me. It's been a great relationship, all one way.
So some people thought he meant the Packers. Those people are dumb.
Agreed.
The Steelers play in Chicago on November 23rd.
Week 12, I believe. No, November. No way.
No, you're right. Week 12. Rodgers doesn't just know that because he's a schedule connoisseur. Okay? Rodgers is going to the Steelers. He's going after he can skip all this stuff. What I've been saying all along. And I'm not as mad as I am that I'm not getting blanketed with praise and articles being written about me left and right for this. I'm more like confused why guys like Ian Rapoport and Adam Schefter and Peter Schrager are like acting surprised. This is the most obvious. I only said it because it's so obvious. I'm the only one saying it. Pacers up 3-1. Pacers Thunder final. We're close. We got more next.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.